And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got another hour of open lines for you. I've been inundated with emails from people who remember the McPizzas. That's what they called them. They came out in the 80s. They stayed into the late 90s, and they were dumped because they took 11 minutes to cook, and apparently that was against the policy of a fast food chain. When you go in, you want to get it quick. 11 minutes for a McPizza? Unacceptable. So it went away. There were a couple places in Canada that kept going for a while, and I'm not sure if they're doing that anymore either. But we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Open Lines. George Norrie with you, and let's go right back to the phones west of the Rockies. Howard is in Vancouver, Washington. Hello there, Howard.
Hello, George. You've been talking about some pretty serious subjects here lately. I have a little brain teaser tonight that you might enjoy. Now, you've probably looked at the sports pages and seen a picture of a race car crossing the finish line. Some photo.
Oh, yeah, we've seen those, sure.
Okay. Now, let's say you're looking at the finish of the Daytona 500 and you're watching the car crossing the finish line. And in the instant that picture is taken, that car is probably moving about 200 miles an hour. And you would assume that every square inch of that car is going 200 miles an hour, right?
You would think so if it's all intact.
Okay, my contention is that there are certain areas on that car that are actually standing perfectly still. Now, can you guess what areas those are?
No, what do you mean by they're standing perfectly still? Explain that.
In relation to everything around them, the ground and the finish line and everything else, they're not moving. But it's just in the instant that that photograph is taken.
This is a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question at all.
Well, what do you mean it's not moving? It's part of the vehicle. It's going. Wherever the vehicle goes, it goes too, right?
Well, you would think so, but there is part of it. There are areas on that car that are simply not moving. The rest, you know, part.
What's your definition of not moving?
Well, in relation to everything else that's around it.
Like the tires spin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The entire car is moving because they're on the tires.
There's a part of it that's not moving.
But nothing else moves, really. The bumper's not moving. The door frame is not moving. It's the tires are moving.
Well,
right?
You got to think about this one. Do you want me to tell you?
Well, no. I put you on the air for 5 minutes, and I don't want the answer.
Okay.
Of course I want the answer.
Okay. It's the bottom of the tires.
The bottom of the tires.
Yes, when they come in contact with the ground, just for that instant, they're stopped.
You mean, and then they keep moving again?
Yes.
And then they pick up.
It's just for maybe...
It's less than a second. It's
probably a thousandth of a second.
Second.
But it's standing perfectly still.
How do you know that? How do you know it's still not moving, even if it's just a little click?
Well, here's a way of looking at it. Back when, years ago, I used to...
You spend all your days thinking of these things?
Oh, I'm nuts, yeah. But... years ago, I used to be in the Army, and I drove tanks.
Well, thanks for serving, by the way.
Okay, yeah. And if you think about it, think about a tank rolling along. It's going along, let's say, 20 miles an hour. And pick a certain point on the track. And it comes around, and it comes down around the front, and it comes down to the ground. And it stays in one spot on the ground while the entire vehicle rolls over the top of it. And then it picks up again. Now, a tire does the same thing, it just has a smaller footprint.
Do you bring this up with friends much, Howard?
Well, I have. They probably think I'm nuts, too. But I bet I get a few arguments started over this one.
All right, I want you to listen to the program, but I want you to tuck yourself into bed and get some hot chocolate and just take it easy. Who's next? Robbie in Scottsburg, Virginia. Hey, Robbie, welcome to the show.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm great.
For the past 13 years, I've had something that's kind of plagued me. I lived right outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay.
And one night I was walking my dog. It was probably around 9 o'clock. And I saw a huge orb just form. It's like it just appeared. It was really large. But then six other ones, one by one, come on each side of it. And I stood there and I watched it for a while. And I know I wasn't the only one because people were pulling over on the side of the road to see it. But probably about maybe 5 minutes it stood there, and it was right over Fort Bragg. But I heard the gentleman talking the other night. That's why I'm bringing it up. But each one of the orbs on the outside of it just flashed right in to the center orb. And then the center orb was gone.
Wow.
Just phew.
I was going to say that it could be a plasma ball, but that no, those things don't stop and merge or anything like that. That's weird. But,
yeah, it was all stationary. It did not move. They all just formed around it.
What do you think orbs are?
That's what I've tried. You're the authority on UFOs. I was not a believer whatsoever until 13 years ago.
Some say that they could also be spirits, but they're very, very weird. And they're not solid, so they could be dimensional, and somehow they're leaking through. Sonny's with us in Peoria, Illinois. Welcome to the program. Hi, Sonny.
Hello, George. How you doing?
Okay. How about you?
Thanks for taking my call. I've called you before with the Bigfoot experience. Now I got the McDonald's pizza experience for you.
You remember it?
Oh, yes, yeah, sir. I lived in Canton, Illinois at the time. They had probably picked our McDonald's as a McDonald's across from a high school, and they had it for a it's a very limited time thing, and it was fantastic. If I remember right, it was kind of like more like a Hot Pocket. You know, it had the crust on the outside of it.
They weren't very big, were they?
No, they were about the size of a Pizza Hut personal pan pizza.
Right.
And they put the crust on the outside so you could, like, drive and eat it or walk and eat it, you know, so it'd be handy. But they always did say, oh, it'll be an 11-minute wait or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Them things are great.
That's why they did it and got rid of it.
Yeah, and they got rid of it, and it was a trial item, and they had a bunch left over there that nobody knew about, but it wasn't on the menu anymore. I used to go there for months after and get them because I just asked for it, and they would have them back in the freezer. But they were fantastic. They were really good.
I mean, I used to go to McDonald's a lot, and even in the 80s, I would go sometimes, but I just don't remember the McPizza.
Well, it was just up there on the menu when they had it. It was up there on the corner, and it would say, and it said for limited time, you know, and in case they put limited time on it right away, just in case it didn't work out.
And they probably had to have a little pizza oven for it, right? Or did they microwave it?
No, it was not microwaved. They had a little pizza oven for it, I think, because it was really, the crust was crispy and flaky, and it was so good. It was a lot better than a Hot Pocket, but it was kind of designed like that.
Interesting.
Except for round.
All right, great. And if you Google it, it points it out that it was in the 80s, lasted into the mid to high 90s, and then poof, it was gone. Next up, let's go to Ananias in Fort Myers, Florida. Hi there. Welcome to the program. Welcome back.
You're still butchering my name.
I know that. Who could get your name right? It's the hardest name to pronounce ever. How do you pronounce it?
Ananias. Read your Bible.
Well, I got to read what I see typed up on the board.
All right. Well, it's spelled the same way. All right. So I watch Ancient Aliens, and I'm continually screaming at the TV.
Why?
Because you change the meaning of words. Angels and demons to extraterrestrials. And when you do that, when you change the meaning of words, you confuse everyone.
Explain.
Angels and demons are angels and demons.
I know.
And then there are giants. And you know all about this.
Right.
You were talking to Lama Zuli a couple of nights ago.
Right.
So, you know, stop it. It's just really frustrating to listen and try to meld the subject of discussion with what the Bible says, and I just can't do it.
Well, do you believe everything the Bible says?
Yes.
You do.
The only question I have about the Bible is is the English translated from the Greek and the Hebrew properly?
Well, do you really believe the universe was formed in 6 days?
If you combine that with Einstein's theory of relativity, yes. Because in Genesis 1, that whole chapter is from God's perspective, not ours. There are no absolutes from our perspective. From his, absolutely.
So how did God start?
He didn't. He doesn't have a beginning.
Or an end.
Right.
But it is baffling. You have to admit that.
It's mind-expanding if you know enough and think about it. It'll hurt to think about it until you can get your brain around it.
It's frustrating. It's absolutely frustrating.
It's a lack of information. We don't know everything, and the Bible doesn't tell us everything.
And we may never know everything.
Yes, we will.
When?
Because the Bible says he will tell us all the secrets.
When?
In heaven. When we get there.
I don't want to wait for that. I want to know now.
Well, you're going to have to.
Well, that's assuming I get there.
Well, I think we will. I think we will all get there. And this is not what I wanted to talk about. I think that all the people born on the earth will be there. Not in hell.
Is there a hell?
Yes. It's for demons.
Well, then who goes down there?
Demons.
You just said everybody's going to heaven.
Right. People are the authorized abiders of the earth. Angels and demons came from heaven. They were sent here for whatever reason, but they are not lawful occupiers.
Yeah, but you can see how some people would confuse angels and demons for extraterrestrials.
Well, in one little sliver of that statement, there is truth. They're not from the earth. Man is.
Mm-hmm.
Man is a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Three parts.
I'm not going to argue with that.
I mean, that's what the Bible says. And I know you know it. You said so.
Of course. I'm not going to argue. I can't argue with that.
Right. Okay. So the angels and the demons, the disembodied spirits, are visitors. Now, if you want to call them extraterrestrials, technically that's correct. But for the non-technically minded people who don't understand why we're hyper-parsing these words, they're not going to get it.
Now, pronounce your name one more time so we never butcher it again.
Ananias.
Oh, boy, I'm not sure I can get that right the next time, but thanks. Ananias. I got that right. Ananias. Let's see how Gina spelled it. I'm not even going to tell you how she spelled it. That's what tricked me. Let's go next to Craig in Charlotte, North Carolina. Craig, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Hello, man. It's an honor to speak with you.
You too, my friend. How are you?
Oh, we're doing okay. I'm going to try to condense this here. So the thing that made me finally believe in ghosts, spirits, and everything, you know, there's a big VA medical center up in Asheville, North Carolina. And there's been one up there since before World War One, and it's built up through the years, and now it's a hospital and everything. And all the old buildings from that early 1900s are just storage and this and that. And I worked for a nonprofit that had their that was using part one of their warehouses from there. I had been there. What it was, they house like books and stuff, like for visitor centers, like on the Blue Ridge Parkway. That was
it. Was it like a storage place?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stored like all the books and stuff like
right.
that. Visitor centers and this and that. But anyway, I've been there about 6 months, and it's a pretty big warehouse, but it's been around since the early 1900s, so it's pretty ratty.
Ah, that's old. Wow.
I had been there about 6 months, and I had to go in the back part of the warehouse to get something. I can't remember what. And I just glanced over one direction, and what was that? thought I saw something kind of look like a human shadow. I said, but well, there's windows up at the top of the building. That's probably just a reflection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, later on the same day, I went in there. About, it was getting to be evening by then, and saw another shadow distinctly moving, shaped like a human.
A shadow person.
And it turns out the big warehouse was a morgue.
Oh.
Woo! I put a whole new spin on
it. Oh, it sure did.
You know.
They were everywhere.
Yeah, since World War One, and I couldn't tell you how many times I'd be sitting at my desk in the warehouse out there, and I would hear somebody walk up behind me. I mean, it was a regular daily occurrence.
Did you feel any evil or anything like that there?
No, but a guy who managed the place before I was there working said, told me firsthand he was working late one night in there and had his two dogs with him. He said, working 11:30 at night. And he said, all at once, he just felt a presence come up to him and just get right in his face. Couldn't see anything, but he said there was something evil.
They felt it.
And his two dogs were howling and trying, one of them bloody at their paw, trying to crawl out the door.
See, animals get that fast, Craig. They get that quick. Let's go to Charles in Elgin, Texas. Welcome to the program. Charles, what's up?
Hey.
Hi there.
Yeah. Trying to get my speaker out here. Pizza.
Do you remember that?
I do remember that. And at first I was thinking, well, this must be kind of like the Mandela effect or something.
I was just going to say that, but I don't remember it.
I know. See, so maybe you were on another world line or something like that.
Maybe I was, but
you know,
other people do.
Maybe somehow shifted over here to where most of us probably remember the pizzas, if we were alive back then. The pizzas, that's kind of related to some of what I wanted to talk about.
You want to talk about pizza?
Well, more about shifting, sort of like shifting into, or quantum shifting, you know, in world lines, that kind of stuff, which also made it interesting when the guy talked about, tires and it touching the road and everything else.
I think the tires are constantly moving. I don't think they stop at all. I think he's wrong.
Well, there's a thing.
Even if it's one nanosecond, I think they're still moving.
Well, there's a thing about time quanta, the smallest reasonable, the thing that fits into the physicist's equation approximately 3.3 times 10 to the 40 something, per second, And so it's like the smallest, and they measure it by, how long it takes a photon to go around a neutron a proton. The thing is, I'm more interested right now. I'm trying to concentrate on, I was just thinking about I had a great granduncle who lived to be 104.
104? Wow.
Yeah, he could have lived much longer, but he decided, because they wouldn't let him ride horses and stuff like that, he kind of decided he pretty well lived his life.
What year did he die?
Oh, God, that was in the 90s. Back in the...
So he goes way back.
Yeah, he went back to... I forgot when he was born exactly, but he was in the cavalry in World War...
You're kidding.
World War One.
That's a long time, they had a lot of cavalry during those days. I don't know if I'd want to last that long. I'm not sure. We'll be back. Okay, welcome back to our final segment of Open Lines. Don't forget Connie Willis in for us tomorrow, and I'll be in on Sunday, 7 nights a week, live programs for you on Coast to Coast. And if you want a podcast, just become a Coast Insider, and you'll be able to get all your shows since way gone back. Let's go to the phones again. Chuck in Rigby, Idaho, first-time caller for us. Hey, Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope you are, too, in the wee hours here.
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week in Salt Lake.
Oh, you're coming? Great.
Yep, me and my boy are coming.
Super.
Down.
We're going to have some fun. You got your tickets already picked out, your seats, and you're all set?
Oh, yeah. We're going to sit in the front row.
Are you really? Okay. Give me a thumbs up when I'm there so I'll know it's you.
Okay. Well, I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah, we'll have some fun. It's a great show.
I've listened to you for years. I kind of monkey around out in my garage working in taxidermy in the evenings and listen to you. And I heard something earlier. This is what I called tonight on Clyde Lewis's show,
mm-hmm.
Zero, that there was something going on with Jerome Corsi. And they pulled all of his stuff off of YouTube.
Yeah, Jerry was bounced off of YouTube for some of his views, and I don't think they should be doing that. I think they should look for profanity and things like that, which they don't do. And apparently they've given Alex Jones 2 strikes out of 3. They give you 3 strikes. Alex has 2. Jerry had his 3. And that's disappointing. I think they're muffling free speech.
I'm with you because, like I say, I pretty much listen to you almost every night, and I know you have him on your show a lot.
Yep.
And, I don't find anything that, you know, horrible about what he's saying.
No. And you don't have to agree.
No.
That's the point.
And all that. So, like I say, I heard that just kind of in passing, I thought, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, I mean, there are things that I think YouTube should be responsible to listen for, and that's profanity, hate, stuff like that. There's no business for that being on anything. And, you know, threatening people's lives and bullying people, you don't need that. And Jerry doesn't do that. Jerry has his views, believe me. I mean, he was... He was very critical of John Kerry's campaign, and, you know, he had his proponents and people against him. But, you know, we can't muffle people because of their views. We got problems in this country if we do that.
Right. You know, that's, we're heading down a bad
path. Absolutely. Yeah. How old is your son when you're bringing him to the show?
He's 29.
Oh, okay, great. Then he'll get some of my jokes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. Thanks, Chuck. Appreciate it. We'll see you next Saturday in Salt Lake City. Gosh, it's coming up. It's fast. Fast. Julie is with us in Kokomo, Indiana. Welcome to the program, Julie.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
Well, I'm glad you had me on. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No, I'm waiting for you.
Oh, I just wanted to talk. You were talking about ghosts earlier. And I'll give you a little bit of background about me. I taught in high schools, public high schools, as a teacher for 20 years. Then I did 2 years in internal affairs at a prison. And I currently work for the federal government. I won't say what capacity.
Well, what do you do? Come on, tell us.
Here's the deal. For about 20 years, up until 2 years ago, actually, I moved 2 years ago, and so far, no problems. But for about 20 years, something, and I don't know what, followed me. For 20 years. And I'll tell you, it would actually speak whatever it was, and I was not the only one to hear it speak. If I was gone or out of the house, people would hear it calling my name. And this was multiple people. This was sisters, brothers, husbands, just everybody would hear this thing. And one instance that I shared with your producer or whoever's answering your phone,
Gina,
was that I was sitting in the living room. My husband was out in the kitchen. I could see the kitchen and the hallway from where I was sitting. He got up to go to bed. He actually, as he crossed the threshold through the hallway, we heard this loud noise. I jumped and kind of turned towards the kitchen because it was out in the kitchen. And he came back through the hallway. And just as he came through the archway where the hallway began, I had a desk sitting just around the corner. And I had full view of that desk. My speakers, both speakers on my desk, raised up about 6 inches and floated to the right, probably about 12 inches. They dropped on the desk and then wobbled back and forth. He started screaming. I started screaming. He's like, what is that? What is that? What is, you know? And it was just terrifying. I had several things like that happen throughout that 20-year period.
Do you think it was just one entity or a whole bunch of them?
You know what? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I know the voice was the same. I know on several occasions it warned me of danger or things that were going to happen that, you know, I didn't want, you know, didn't, that I wanted to be careful of.
Right.
And so I don't know that it was an evil force. I wouldn't say it was good. I think it was maybe benevolent, kind of, you know.
Well, you never felt threatened by it, did you?
I didn't, but I got scared by it several times.
Well, because it's unknown.
Scary.
You know, you know, anytime a ghost comes flying by, it's scary for a lot of people.
Right. We never, ever saw any. Oh, no, I take that back. We did, both my kids. My son came in from school one time and said that he saw a man walk through the house. And when I got home about 10 minutes after he did, got off the bus. I was running a little late that day. And when I got home, he was outside. We went inside. The refrigerator door was open, and so was my back door. So I guess maybe he was hungry.
I don't know. But it's gone now. Doesn't follow you around.
It is gone now. It had followed me from house to house.
Do you miss it?
Wherever I moved to. No.
You don't?
Yeah. I don't think so.
I guess it's kind of creepy to know that there's something there watching everything you do.
Yeah, it kind of is. And it's disturbing. You know, and I haven't, you know, my husband hasn't, you know, I've asked him a couple times, have you heard anybody calling? And he's like, no. He's like, I haven't.
Julie.
So, yeah. It was kind of weird. And, you know, and different people would come in the house, and if I was not home, they would hear it. And it's like, I know she's not here. You know, what's going on here?
Now, are you going to tell us what branch of the federal government you work for?
Absolutely not.
Why not? Is it secret?
No, it's not secret. Well,
I mean, we don't know who you are.
It's a little too personal. Well, if I give that away, lots of people will. So I'm not going to.
Oh, they will? Okay.
But it's it was quite an interesting, you know.
What did you teach, by the way? Let me ask you that. When you were a teacher, did you specialize in anything? You know, I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I know. You're trying to get it out of me. I will tell you this. I also did 2 years teaching in the college.
What'd you teach?
And I taught communications.
You taught communications.
I'm a communicator, yeah. So,
are you a broadcaster?
And I'm a techie. No.
Okay.
Information communication science.
Interesting. You're a spy.
So, anyways, yeah, it was very interesting. It was very disturbing, and it was
And now it's gone.
It appears to be gone, and I'm hoping that it is, actually, because it was kind of, like I said, kind of scary sometimes.
Okay, thanks, Julie. Appreciate you being part of the show. Let's go next to Katie in Idaho. Katie, what's on your mind?
Hello, George. I want to thank you for shepherding and, you know, being the captain of the ship for all these years.
And thank God it's not rudderless.
That's right.
We don't want a rudderless ship.
You know, only in America. I listened to all these callers tonight, and this could only survive and last in our country. Thank God that we still have the liberties that we do.
True.
Talking about free speech and muffling speech. I mean, where else, what other country could you go to and listen to, you know, anywhere from pizza to Cornelius to... and then everything in between and ghosts and
or to get tongue lashed by a guy named Ananias who says I pronounced his name wrong.
Right. But, you know, what I really want to say is my hat's off to you and all the folks at the show and all the callers that, you know, come in and mainly for giving us a forum to vent our thoughts and our emotions, and we're living in very troubled times, so your show is very important, I think, to the whole country.
It's a great show.
Anyway, what I really wanted to say was I, t- tend to agree with, I'm shifting gears here.
All right.
I have to agree with, excuse me, your doctor, Peter Bregan, who talks a lot of common sense backed up by years of experience and intelligence and working with people. He's giving us a common denominator for this trouble, this very, very disturbing, these shooting incidents. And, you know, I hear you when you say that you were in high school and you never thought about getting an assault rifle and et cetera.
No,
another, your friends
didn't even cross my mind.
Nothing. Yeah, your teachers. Right. No, I shouldn't joke about that. Sorry. But what I do want to say is this. I believe there is a common denominator right along with the doctor that you have on, and I think it's the drugs, the antidepressants.
Yep.
Because
they contribute.
You think of this. If you were a tyrannical enemy to a first world country and you had the means and the time to effect a change, a revolution in the world, I think it would be effective to go for the youth and also to go for people's minds.
Oh, yeah, and then dump this stuff right on them. All these pharmaceuticals, just dump them right on these third world nations. You'd really screw them all up.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Michael Cosio, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, George Knapp, and Ananias, or whatever his name is, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.